Tonight's first reading is Psalm 8. This can be found on page 546 of the Pew Bibles. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
The second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. Can be found on 980 of the church Bibles. So Matthew 13, starting at verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord.
Just a prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take these words and use them to bring glory to you. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, firstly, I've got to make a confession. And that is that up until about 3 weeks ago, because I was preoccupied with a guy called Habakkuk, I hadn't even thought or heard of Hildegard of Bingen. And I just wonder, just a quick show of hands, how many of you have heard of her? Oh, look at that, loads. Well, I don't know that I'm going to tell you much that you don't know already. It happened that having just sort of started off from nothing, with just one little internet search, I came up against or found two contemporary references to her, one with Classic FM, about her music, and we've obviously heard some of that already, and then an article in Christianity Today, both written in 2018, Christianity Today. And then we were travelling, I think actually around the M25, and I don't know if your car radio comes up and it sort of says what it is, and there was a bit of chanting, playing some chanting that was happening at the time, and there was Hildegard of Bingen written after it. So I felt, you know, this is good. It's all sort of coming at the right time. Investigating her music, I don't know whether she would have been flattered or not. I came across a record of playing song chanting with a beat behind it. There was a bass going and there were drums. And I quite liked it, actually, and I was going to play with you a bit of it tonight, but I've lost it already, you know, having got it. There you go. The record we've heard is Mark's, and thanks, Mark, from your library of lending it to us to listen to. There's also a futuristic sort of cartoon I came across with her music behind that, which is quite amazing, really. Well, this week marks the anniversary of her death in 1179, so almost 840 years ago. I want to tell you a little bit about her life, her achievements, and then think of a couple of illustrations. There's so much material. She wrote so much. Her words to various people. I want to use those two passages that we have read to us this morning from this evening from the Bible to just illustrate the sort of things she said. Firstly, her life. Well, born over 900 years ago in 1098, for most of her 80 years, she spent shut away in two monasteries up in the hills in the Rhineland in Germany. Yet she became an abbess, which probably isn't surprising if she was, in that sort of setup. But she was also an artist, an author, a letter writer, a composer. Some of the letters actually were written to the Pope. She was a mystic. She had visions. She was a pharmacist, a healer, a preacher, and a theologian. Where to start describing this remarkable woman in just a few minutes? Well, she was born into a noble family, and she was the 10th child of that family, and was given to God and the church. It made me think of Samuel, actually. She was given to the church age 7, and she went to live in this monastery. It had a section for nuns. I'm not certain if at that stage it was only one nun, a lady called, lost her name. That's it, yes, Jutta. Whether it was just the one nun there or not, but Jutta was in Anchorage, it's called, which meant actually she was locked up or bricked up almost. There was a place in a cell where there was a window to pass things through. But that's how Hildegard spent the first part of her life with this other nun, Jutta. And that was her life. Jutta taught her how to read Latin, how to understand the scriptures, and obviously some music, and about how to become a Benedictine nun. And she was only 14 when she became a nun. Well, what a start to life. But that time spent alone with Jutta and learning obviously played a great part in her life. She became a very respected member of that setup in the monastery. Strange, but it was a separate section for the nuns. And later in 1136, when Hildegard was 38, she became the abbess at that monastery in Dissenburg. She was obviously a very intelligent lady, but it wasn't usual for a woman to get the sort of respect that she got, because, you know, the attitude to women in the 12th century wasn't particularly kind. But Hildegard held the belief that women, although subservient to men, are also in a good position to understand and enjoy spiritual wealth that the men enjoyed, she had her own mission to fulfill. And she wasn't afraid of controversy. The number of nuns that came to live with her, and these were fairly wealthy nuns, meant that her place at Dissenberg was too small and they had to move. She had another place done up so that she could live there with her nuns at a place called Rupersberg. And they lived there, but you can imagine actually she wasn't particularly popular. She was quite a star with these monks, and people were coming to see her and that, and they were sort of upset that she'd moved out and gone to her own place. She also upset church authorities by allowing the burial of a man who had been excommunicated from a church to take place in the convent grounds of her new convent at Bingen. And that, for that reason, she wasn't allowed to celebrate the Mass or have any singing in her church or in that place for 6 months. And for someone who composes music, pretty difficult, really. Well, so what about her achievements? Hildegard was a prolific writer and aided by a monk called Volmar. And here we see them. Hildegard wrote out her thoughts on a wax tablet, and then she passed them through to Volmar to then write them out on vellum. And that's how we still have them today, and we know they're around because of what he did. She wrote a book called Scivias. That was her first book, and that took her 10 years to write and contained some of the visions she had received. Scivias means know the way. There were 9 other books that she wrote and something like 400 letters, most of which are still in existence. She wrote 77 poems which were set to music. She wrote a morality play. She even had written her own language. I think it had about 90 characters. I don't know if anybody's managed to understand what she was writing about, but anyway, the language is there. And between the years 1152 and 1162, she was given the opportunity to preach in various places around the Rhine. Her music was rediscovered here in England, I think about 1979, and some of her songs were sung at a concert. And then after that, there were loads of recordings of her record. And I think, Mark, you mentioned that one of her records was Record of the Year. Is that right? A few years ago. But quite amazing how this sort of chanting and the freedom that she had in writing music has captured the imagination of people. We don't know how she wrote that music, whether she sort of wrote words first and then music, but it was hers. She'd obviously heard the monks, Benedictine monks, chanting and singing the Mass. But her music was a lot more modern, as George said, than that. In September 2010, Pope Benedict spoke about Hildegard and praised the rich theological content of her visions. And in 2012, she was canonized, whatever that means, I'm not quite certain. Mark's a canon, he might be able to tell us. And she was named a doctor of the church. So much from a woman who spent much of her time locked away, such understanding of mankind. must have been given by God. She also had sort of thoughts and wrote down things about medicine.